The longer Penny works on building this strange little town, the more obvious it becomes that the company is lying. Lying about everything. They say this tiny community deep in the Alaskan forest is owned by a private firm conducting climate and environmental research that's both valuable and potentially controversial, given the political divide over climate change. The owners want to conduct this potentially very lucrative research unhindered, and they were willing to pay a small fortune for the construction crew's discretion. Every member of the crew had been hand-selected from across North America. They'd signed ironclad NDAs and been provided a working on an oil rig cover story for family and friends. All electronic devices had been confiscated at the airport. They'd been flown out in a private plane with darkened windows. The others didn't care what the reason was. Research, climatology, environmental engineering, it was all so deathly dull. As far as they were concerned, any company willing to pay a year's wages for a quarter's work could insist the crew work wearing clown noses. While Penny had accepted the story herself, there was a reason she'd grown up in a bedroom filled with cats. It was her mother's joke, and a not-so-subtle reminder. Curiosity kills the cat, Penny. Be a little less curious, and you'll live a lot longer. That was like telling Penny to breathe less air. She thrived on mysteries and puzzles, especially when it came to houses. Yes, most people don't think of houses as puzzles, but that's because they aren't architects. A new client comes to you, eyes glittering with the dream of their perfect home, and you need to make it a reality, even when everyone has told them that their vision won't work. Penny's specialty is making it work. That's why she's here, to take this company's dream and make it a reality. They wanted to minimize their town's footprint while maximizing both function and comfort. The last part sold her. This wasn't a firm trying to stuff worker bees into the smallest hive possible. While they did need to be small, to keep others from investigating, they didn't want to sacrifice livability. That made them good people, right? At least decent, as far as corporations went. The budget ignited the first whisper of doubt. Not that they were asking her to cut corners. She expected that, and she expected to discover that their insistence on maximum livability was mostly advertising for the scientists and technicians who'd live here. No, the problem was that they didn't amend her plans, even when she warned it'd take the project over budget. She'd run a test asking for something ridiculous. If they'd agreed, that would mean they were fleecing investors with a fake project, which would be disappointing, but none of her business. Instead, they balked at the overage and asked her to scale it back. Something was going on, and after nearly 20 years in the business, she thought she knew all the scams and tricks, and she couldn't figure this one out, which had her cat whiskers tingling. She'd started sneaking into places she shouldn't be, listening to conversations she wasn't supposed to hear. And all she caught were tidbits that made her more suspicious without answering any of her questions. For a curious kitty, that was catnip. Penny had just finished eavesdropping on a conversation when the participants stormed off. That happened a lot between these two. Bruno, the engineer, and Yolanda, the contractor. Yolanda was trying to keep things on schedule while Bruno kept finding issues that needed to be addressed. Tonight's argument had been different. When it broke up with both participants storming off, Penny was left musing in her hiding spot, idly watching Yolanda stalk across the job site. Now Yolanda stops, peers into the gathering dark, and then slips into the forest. That gets Penny's attention. They aren't allowed into the forest. That's been made very clear. It's dangerous and untamed Alaskan wilderness, filled with grizzlies and wolves and killers. Okay, no one said killers, but they all know Alaska is where serial killers run when they need to escape the police. The person who enforces the no forest rule with strict penalties? The same person who is going in there now. Penny jogs to a building on the edge of town, ducks into the shadow of it, and peers around the corner. When Yolanda turns again to peer back, Penny's heart stops. But after a slow and careful look around, Yolanda disappears into the forest. Penny counts to five and then takes off in pursuit. She tracks the whisper of branches brushing Yolanda's nylon jacket, the crack of a twig under her work boots, the sudden explosion of a startled bird taking flight. Penny has never been what anyone would call outdoorsy. She once rolled in poison ivy to get sent home from summer camp, but she's pleased with herself here, picking up those sounds and tracking Yolanda without getting close enough to be caught. Admittedly, Yolanda is on a path, one hacked out for the approved group walks, so it's easy enough to follow her. And it's also easy for Penny to keep on that path and let her mind wander and fail to realize that the sounds up ahead stopped a while ago. When Penny finally does notice it, she stops to listen and realizes just how silent it is out here. Not just silent either. It's dark. She peers around the gloom and shadows. It had been dusk when she set out. Yes, noticing that, she'd realized she should have grabbed a flashlight, but her eyes had adjusted easily enough, and it wasn't as if it was fully dark. Now, it is fully dark. How is that possible? She left the town just a few moments ago, right? No, it's been more than a few moments. Once she'd realized Yolanda was following a path, she'd focused on piecing together the bits and pieces she'd accumulated in her quest to solve the town's mystery. So, how long had she been gone? And when did she stop hearing Yolanda? It is at that moment that Penny realizes her mother was right. Curiosity is dangerous, and not just when it leads her to listen in on a private conversation. It's even more dangerous when it leads her into the goddamn Alaskan wilderness at night with no flashlight and no weapon sharper than the mechanical pencil in her back pocket. She takes a deep breath. There's moonlight, and she can see the path well enough. She just needs to follow it back to town. She gets about five paces before the moon disappears behind cloud cover. Penny blinks to clear her vision and continues walking, feeling her way, trees close enough to touch on either side, pressing on. Oh, her foot sinks in snow and she pulls back. There were no snowy patches along the path. She'd have noticed that. There is still snow here and there in dark crevices, but she definitely hadn't stepped in any. Therefore, she is no longer on the path. She bends and squints at the ground, only to see a half dozen large canine prints in the patch of snow. Wolves. She backs up fast and tries to retreat to the path, but she gets turned around and ends up back at the snowy patch. Or is this another snowy patch? With more wolf prints? Deep breaths as she calms her racing heart. She's fine. She can't be more than a half mile from town. She just needs to find... There! She spots a clear path through the undergrowth and she sets out on it, walking resolutely back to town. She's fine. Just fine. A bit of an adventure, that's all. When her watch says 30 minutes have passed, she starts peering ahead for signs of the town. Then she remembers she's not going to see any at this hour. There are strict light rules past sundown, You can use a pen light to get from building to building, but indoor lights are only allowed if the blackout blinds are drawn. She keeps going. 10 minutes pass, then 20. Did she miss the town? No, the path goes straight to it. Is this definitely the path? It has to be, doesn't it? She looks around. The path does seem narrower than she remembered, with branches poking her as she walks. But it has to be the one. She just isn't there yet. Penny takes 10 more steps. Then something crackles behind her. She wheels to see a figure stepping onto the path, a dark shadow against the night. Thank God, she says with a small laugh. I thought I heard something in here, and I was only going to take a peek, and I wandered off the path. The figure doesn't move. Well, I went farther than I thought, she says. Can I head back with you? The figure snorts, and it's an odd noise, one that has her squinting. The shadow moves, and she catches sight of flicking animal ears, 2 feet above her own head. Penny falls back with a yelp. Her foot catches on a root and twists, and then she's falling for real, the ground flying up as she crashes onto her back. I am dead. That's all she can think. A grizzly found her, and now she's dead. The creature snorts again, and she looks up as the moon peeks out just enough for her to see the animal. It's not on 2 legs. It's on 4. 4 impossibly long legs, like a giraffe's. The head looks like a horse's. Then she catches sight of massive, thick antlers. Moose. A memory flashes. A magazine photo of a majestic moose grazing in a twilight bog. That's the one animal she wanted to see up here. A moose. Now she is seeing one, and holy shit, she had no idea how big it would be. If she'd spotted it through a car window, she'd have gazed in wonder and awe. Seeing it standing a few feet from her, while she's flat on her back, is nothing short of terrifying. It might not be a grizzly, but one wrong move, one moment of fear and panic, and those massive hooves will trample her to a pulp. Penny slides backward as she rises. The moose only watches. She keeps backing up. When it snorts and shakes its antlers, she turns and runs. Runs blindly, even as an inner voice screams that she's overreacting. It's a moose, for God's sake. A giant deer. She doesn't care. She runs until she's certain it's not charging after her. Then she stops to catch her breath, looks around, and realizes she's left the path far behind. Penny squares her shoulders and heads back the way she came, back toward the path. But after a few strides, she hits a solid wall of trees. This isn't the way she came. She's lost. She's completely calmed down. Look around. Get your bearings. The moon has slid free of its cloud cover. Use that as her guide. Where was the moon before? Overhead? Wait, there's moss on the trees. That only grows on the south side, right? Or is it the north? Is that even true? She vaguely recalls some online trivia saying it wasn't. Oh, breathe deeply. Gather her thoughts. There has to be something she remembers seeing. Mountains. Of course, there are mountains to the west of the town, which makes the sunset earlier than it usually does, but leaves spectacular sunsets that had her itching for her camera. She looks up and sees trees. Pines rocket into the night sky and block any mountain she might see behind them. All right, but she can see the mountains from the job site, which means she needs to get to a clearing. Pick a direction and start walking. She does that, and 20 minutes later, she's blind again, the moon disappearing. She's walking with her hands in front of her face while she tells herself everything's fine. It's getting too dark for predators, right? And while it's hardly the warm spring evening she'd be enjoying at home, Alaska in May isn't nearly as cold as she expected. She's warm enough in her jacket and boots and gloves. Worst case, she'll need to hunker down until morning and then find her way back. When she hears a noise to her left, she veers right and starts to jog, hands out in front of her face. Then she stops. It sounds like water. The burble of a stream. Where there's a stream, there could be a clearing, right? Also, where there's a stream, there is eventually a lake, and there's one right beside the town, which means she could follow the stream back. She picks her way in that direction. It's slow going as the trees get thicker. Then she stops as she catches an odd metallic sound, a faint tinkling, as if the water is running over something metal. That's a definite sign of civilization. She moves faster as the clouds thin, allowing a filtering of moonlight. Too fast, too confident, and when her foot hits a taut wire, she pitches onto her hands and knees. A trap. She's been snared in a trap. She flips over fast, and there's a crack and a snap, and a billowing sheet drops onto her. Penny flails, struggling to get out from under the sheet that dropped over her. Her hands touch clammy fabric. She yanks it off and finds herself looking down at a canvas tent. She tripped over a guy line and brought the whole tent down. She goes still, listening. If there is a tent here, there is a person here. Every story about serial killers in the Alaskan wilderness slams back. She carefully extricates her feet from the guy line. Then she rises, peering around. The clouds have passed enough for her to see that she's in the middle of a campsite. A hidden campsite. As soon as she thinks that, she wants to dismiss it as fear and paranoia. But as she looks around, she realizes it's more than that. She just left a town that's being specially constructed to disappear into the landscape. Someone has also tried to hide this camp. That's why she didn't see it until she literally tripped over it. The tent is dull brown with splotches of green for camouflage. There's a box that must hold supplies, and it's painted the same colors. She peers around again, and then makes her way to the box. It's locked, but someone has forgotten to fasten the lock. She bends and twists it open, and the squeak of the metal almost, but not quite, drowns out the crackle of dead leaves behind her. Penny spins, arms going up to protect herself. When she sees who it is, she lowers her hands. "You," she says. "What the hell are you?" A burst of pain exploding through her skull. And then, nothing.